Ben Dobbin.
I'm exclusively a free baller.
What can we say?
I'm sorry?
He wheels and he deals. For great deals on wheels, see the team at Southside Auto Auction Springwood. For wholesale cars direct to the public. SouthsideAutoAuctions.com.au.
It's the Rush Hour. Well, thanks for joining us on the catch-up. Luke Dobbo and Margot Parker with you. Before we get to what actually happened on today's show, can you just come into the microphone here, Margot, and pretend you're slightly interested in this catch-up, because there's something we've been wanting to discuss for quite some time, and that is that Margot's got some stats, Dobbo, which might not be good, or they might be really good for you and I, or it might be embarrassing for you and I, but it's the average amount of time that people are going for it in the sack. Now,
really?
Yeah, so is this from go to woe, Margot? In other words, from the time you jump in the sack.
This does not include foreplay.
Okay, so it's the
so
actual.
So this is actually the act.
The actual act. Now, what do you think the average is, Dobbo?
I can only go off.
Yeah, go on.
Me.
Go on. What do you say? Don't ham it up.
10 minutes.
Really?
Between 5 and 10 of the actual act?
At the actual act.
5 to 10 minutes. 5 to 10 minutes, I think, is, you know.
There have
been days that they could have been 5 seconds.
That's a compliment, mate, isn't it? I'm going to say, Margot, honestly, I'm going to say of the actual act, I'm going to go 8 minutes. How do you like that? 8 minutes is what I say.
Well, there's no normal amount of time to have sex, Luke. It's up to the discretion of the people partaking in the act. And when the people that they did this test on ranged from 33 seconds to 44 minutes.
Really?
All right?
As a chick, before you tell us what the average is, what's the perfect amount of time for you? Like, what? Because 44 minutes you're going to be...
Of the actual act.
Of the actual act.
Yeah. 10, 15 minutes. Yeah, 10 minutes.
Okay,
maybe.
10 minutes maybe. Right.
But normally it doesn't last that long for me because I'm so good at what it is.
Margot, the poor bloke doesn't have a chance.
Right. The poor guy doesn't. The poor guy wants to get out of there.
You're talking about Corey. You're actually talking about your husband, Corey.
He's fantastic. But anyway, so 33 seconds to 44 minutes was the amount that across all the times that the sexing was happening.
Mm-hmm.
The average or the normal amount of time they're saying to have sex is 5.4 minutes.
Okay. All right.
Above average.
You're above average, are you, Dobbo?
Above average.
Yeah. But half of that time for you, Dobbo, if it's like 10 minutes, half of that is you getting your breath back, isn't it? That's what, no? I was just checking. Don't get angry with me, mate. I'm only asking questions. Well, Dobbo's above average.
Were some factoring results, you know, like there were some things that factored into the results, which were condom use.
Right.
And whether the man was circumcised or not. And relationship. What the relationship was. So whether they were just like a new couple where he's, you know, trying to perform and act and, you know, like show her how manly he is by going longer.
See, I would think
married couples who just get in and get it done.
I would think, Margot, if you're just going on and on and on and on, while that might seem like a really manly act, I would say it's actually not a compliment for the girl.
No.
Like the guy can't, you know. You know what I mean?
She's not doing it for him.
She's not doing
it for him. Why is he lasting so long?
He comes in like a big hero. Oh, mate, I went for 4.5 days. And you're like, that's no compliment.
No. Because the thing is like the whole point of having sex is to procreate. So you get in, get it done, get the impregnator and move on.
Right. You're right over there.
Why are we having sex for so long?
I don't know.
Margo, I read that article and it did make sense that, you know, there's supposed to be, that is just for procreation. But, you know, I do like it.
It's a bit of fun too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Corey actually asks me often. He says, "If you enjoy it so much, why don't you want to do it more often?"
What is your answer to that?
I'm like, "Because did you see the show that I just put on? Takes effort.
Yeah, a lot of effort.
Margot, Christ,
a lot of effort. But it's only taken 4 minutes though, Margot. So you've got a lot of time.
5.4.
A lot of time to fill in the day. Hey, anyway, enough of that. How far have you driven with no fuel in your car? We'll cover off on that today. What else have we got up there? The worst Christmas presents?
Worst Christmas presents.
Worst Christmas presents of all time. And look, that's about it.
Dobbo had a nightmare.
Oh, Dobbo, you've got to hear this. Dobbo had a nightmare. Well, he had a dream. He had a dream about Margot.
A wet dream.
You won't even believe what he dreamt about with Margot, but you'll listen to it for yourself if you listen to this. It's the catch up and it's starting right now. I've got something pretty interesting here. I want to chuck this to you guys. They've come up with the list. Well, first of all, they've revealed, with Christmas around the corner, who the hardest person in your family is to buy for? Mm. Let's debate that one first of all. Who do you think, Dobbo, the hardest?
Me, in our family. Like, my mum, my kid said to me this morning, what do you want? And I literally, there's nothing I want. I actually want for nothing. And they go, oh, you're so hard to buy for.
Socks like, and well, jocks? That's always a good one.
I don't wear jocks. So
who would you say, Margo? Like, don't give us
my mum.
Yeah, your mum is a hard person to buy
she's
for.
She's the hardest person to buy for because she's the same. She doesn't like to spend money on herself or anyone else. So she doesn't, like, need stuff. She's like, that's just give me issue. Money or champagne.
You know,
that's not my issue. I like to spend money.
I like to spend money too, but yeah, she's hard to buy for. And I like to think of myself as a pretty good gift giver.
Well, they reckon the hardest person to buy for is your significant other's dad. And I got to agree with that. That's a pretty tough one. When you got to buy a present for effectively your father-in-law. That's
a bottle of Jupe.
Is that
He's happy.
What's Jupe?
It's like old school aftershave.
Is it really?
Yeah, loves it. Or King G's,
like mango
Stubbies.
Juice.
Now, what I want you to do now is think about the worst Christmas present that you've ever received, and I'm going to put it up against what the experts say is the worst gift ever received and see if you can beat it. So have you got one, Dobbo, that you can think of? And give us a call and let us know what the worst present you've ever received is, and then I'll put it up against what these experts say is the worst present ever received, and we'll see if you can beat it.
Well, I think there's a couple of clangers. Like, you know, once I got a tree, like just a sapling, and it was like, oh, if we plant this, and then it can grow as one, and that's a Christmas present. I'm like, no, mate, you don't give somebody a tree for Christmas.
You didn't like that, mate? You didn't find it sentimental?
No.
Can I tell you what happened for me? The worst gift I ever received, this is only about five Christmases ago, I opened it up, and it was a book on the 1990 kangaroo tour. It was a beautiful book.
You love football, though.
I love football.
Yeah.
But I opened it up and I was like, oh, this is a cool book. Mm. And then Ashley, my mother gave it to me. And then Ashley, my brother's there, and he goes, Mum, you gave that to me for Christmas last year. And what had happened?
He left it there.
He'd left it there.
She re-gifted it.
She re-gifted it to me the next year.
Well, you think that's bad.
Go on.
I got given a present that was a gift with purchase.
What does that mean?
So someone had bought themselves a gift from, say, Meyer or David Jones, and then, you know, at Christmas time they have those, if you buy this or spend $95 with this, we'll give you a free little gift on the side.
Right.
And it was a towel for Jurlique, which is like a skincare company. So I had this navy blue Jurlique towel that was a gift with purchase that I got given as a gift.
How do you know it was a gift with purchase?
Because I'd seen the same deal in Meyer like a week earlier while I was out Christmas shopping. I was like, you can't give me your gift for a gift with purchase. She's like, yes, I can.
Well, the one that the experts have got here is the worst gift of all time. I think beats all of ours, but I'm going with my book as the worst out of this collection.
I think that.
A re-gift of a gift the year before.
Can I say that one that Corey got?
Go on.
Corey got given a bottle of aftershave with no lid and a tester sticker on the bottom still.
Okay, Corey wins. Corey wins. If you think you can outdo Corey getting a tester bottle of aftershave, hit the phones right now. We'll take your calls coming up next. We have here a list of the very worst Christmas gift apparently ever received by anybody, and we've opened the phones up to see if you can top it. Now, collectively amongst the three of us, we've crowned Corey, your husband, Margo, as the recipient of the worst gift in amongst us. What was it again?
He received a bottle of cologne with the tester sticker still on the bottom and no lid, but because he said he liked the smell, he continued to get it for the next two Christmases after that.
Are you prepared to say who was giving that? No.
Well, look.
No, okay, that's
I love her very much, but my mother is not the greatest at buying presents. Well,
what is that? Well, where'd you get it from?
I don't know. Maybe because we grew up relatively financially frugal. Poor, and my mum was relatively frugal and good with her money, whereas I'm the complete opposite. I'm terrible. That's why. Maybe I felt deprived and underprivileged as a child, so I'm making up for it now.
Well, Corey's getting tester bottles left, right and centre. JD from Mango Hill thinks that he can outdo it. What have you received, mate?
Worst present ever, and I don't think anyone can top this one. It's a Rick Astley cassette.
Oh, yeah, hang on. But
what era?
Yeah, are we in the 80s here, or are we, you know, like two Christmases ago?
Nah, mate, this is back when I was a young fella. My brother bought it for me, actually. I said, what did you get me this cassette for, mate? I don't even like Rick Astley. This is just when he released that album.
Right. He probably wanted it himself.
He thought he was chuffed. He was like, that's a good present. Yeah. He'll love that.
Good on you, JD, mate. It should be great. Here you go. Sing it, JD.
Never gonna let you
sing
down.
It, mate. You know the words.
Never gonna turn around and desert you.
Oh, stop it.
Come on, mate.
Hey,
good news, JD. Mate, your brother's getting with the times and you're getting the CD this year. Right. Well done. Good on you, mate. Hey, who else is calling through there, Dobbo?
Yeah, we have Bruce from the Sunshine Coast, and this will take some beating. Bruce, the worst Christmas present you've ever received?
A knitted coat hanger.
Yes. Did, did Grandma knit it for you, though?
Sorry?
Did your grandma knit it for you, Bruce?
No, it was Arnie. It seems to be Arnie's that give you the worst presents. I even got a set of handkerchiefs from one when I was about five.
You may as well not even get a gift from your Arnie.
That's old school, though.
You know
knitted
what I mean?
Coat hangers and handkerchiefs.
I know they say it's the thought that counts, but what are you going to do with that coat hanger? You know,
I've still got it, by the way.
you hang your jacket on it, Bruce?
I do. It's yellow. And there's also, she done another one the year after, it was red and white.
Well, mate, one day that coat hanger is going to be all that's left from your auntie, and you'll be grateful that you got it, mate.
Actually, that is the truth. She has passed away, by the way.
Oh, well, mate, don't say it's the worst.
Wait up, mate. You need
get
a good
frame.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Give this guy a talking to, Dobbo, the
mate,
ungrateful
how
thing.
How dare you, you know, you passed on Arnie, and you're bagging out the gift that she get it framed.
Yep. She's not here to defend herself.
Hang your head
either.
In shame, yes. Bruce.
Disgraceful.
Yeah, she's a beautiful lady. Just,
disgraceful.
Good job, Bruce.
And if you're a funny... Shame.
Oh, Mitchie.
Shame on you, Bruce. If Bruce is any sort of funny bloke, he'll pass that on as a gift to someone this Christmas. Yeah. You know what I mean? Give it to your brother.
You're absolutely right.
In loving memory of...
Let's wrap it up, Dobbo. Who's
Emma,
bringing us...
Debbie from Corona Downs. This could... I think this is a great, in fact, great present. You're saying it's the worst. This is one of the best ever.
Yeah, well, you know, I got given a cask of peach-flavoured wine and back in the street, I didn't even drink wine.
Hang on.
And he wanted it because he wanted me to drink it so he could use the goon bag as a pillow for camping.
Okay. Debbie, he's now your ex-husband, and we'll get into that in a minute. But when you say peach flavour, was it wild peach?
I don't remember. Yeah,
it's discontinued now. The wild peach.
You were a wild peach once, weren't you?
The wild peach goon was part of my life for a long, long time. It was a stable diet, and I can't have people discriminating against...
Didn't you dress up as a peach or something?
Yeah.
Hey, Debbie, can I ask you, what part of Ipswich do you come from exactly? thanks for your call, Debbie. Now, okay, the worst gift that the expert said that some dude ever received was a roll of toilet paper, but at least I guess that's useful. That goon that she's talking about, I mean, I think that takes the cake. Thanks for your calls on that. We appreciate it.
Do you guys believe that dreams can be true at times?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
I had arguably the scariest dream of my life this morning. I woke up, my alarm, I normally don't wake to my alarm. I was woken by Ella at 1 o'clock this morning. I couldn't get back to sleep. My mind was racing about all the work. 3 o'clock, I finally get back to sleep. My alarm's set for 4:31 to go to F45.
Why 4:31?
Because one is first, and I'm not a zero person. I'm always number one. So or everything's like 4:31.
Is that weird?
That is weird. But
anyway. OCD. Anyway, go on.
Anyway, I wake up and I woke to the dream that KG had walked out on me because she'd fallen in love with someone else.
Who did she fall in love with?
Margot.
Really?
Yeah. That her and Margot, KG and Margot
about
had decided
that
both of them... Both of them stop.
So you had a dream that your missus left you for Margot.
The love of my life because she cleared out with Margot. And Margot took Ella, she took her kids, and they started a happy family together.
I'm like the Angelina Jolie.
And they left me and Corey with nothing, with just the scraps.
75%.
I think KG got the scraps.
That's not fair. No. So, I get home from F45 and I said to KG, I've got to talk to you.
Was it bugging you while you were at F45?
Oh, mate, I was thinking, mate, geez, I hope, like, you know, just because it was so real.
Yeah,
I
can relate to this. Go on.
I said, please tell me that, you know,
there's nothing
no chance
going on
with you and Margaret. She has, please, no chance, you know.
Well, Dubbo, I'm not sure if this is the time or the place, but now you bring it up.
Stop it.
I should mention.
Stop it.
Okay. I can relate to this, Dobbo, because I'm going back, honestly, I'm going back, oh, geez, 10 years ago at least. I had a dream that I was cheated on, that Kathy cheated on me, and it was so real that I carried the anger of it and the hurt into real life.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Even though I knew it was a dream, I actually carried it into real life. You've done that.
Yeah, I had a dream that Corey was having an affair and I was angry at him the next day for the whole day. I like had a grudge because I was like, dreams mean something. Why am I dreaming this? Are you cheating on me? Like I thought it was a real thing.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. But dreams generally tend to have meaning. You know, there's a whole...
You must feel... I mean, to go back to your dream, Dobbo, you must feel threatened by Margot somehow because that's what this all comes back to. She stole the love of your life.
Let's just say this now. Margot's never coming to my home.
Right.
And you're
and
no
this
longer...
this is not the first time you've dreamt about me, is it, Dobbo?
Oh, Margot. Have you ever... Get over it.
You know what? You know what's so funny? You know what's so funny is that of when we had Libby working with us, right? When we had Libby working with us, Libby had a dream about Captain Benny.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
She had that sort of dream with Captain Benny.
Yeah.
Then she had that sort of dream. About 6 months later, she had that sort of dream about me.
Hussy.
And she came in and told us. And Dobbo felt so left out because she, the only team member that Libby didn't have a dream about
was
Dobbo.
Me.
Dobbinator.
Dobbo felt so upset by it. And he was like... He was trying to put it into Libby's mind.
No,
that, she could
that
somehow...
is not true.
And eventually she came in and she said, I had a nightmare last night. I've got to tell you what happened to me this morning. I was so proud of my, whatever my car is. What's mine? A Ford Ranger.
Ford Ranger.
I saw this.
I had to drive today. I had to go up to Brisbane. And I'm driving back from Brisbane back here to the coast. And when I left Brisbane, I noticed that I had on my like fuel countdown clock.
Your gauge.
My gauge that I had like 16 kilometres to go until I was empty. And I was in Brisbane, like I was smack bang in the centre of Brisbane. And so I went, oh God, I've got to remember to fill up. I forget about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, I'm at Bean Lee and I look at the fuel gauge and I'm now on zero and I'm at Bean Lee.
And you got to get to the coast.
And I got to get back here to the coast. I filled up. I didn't fill up until I got to the Kel-Tex in Surfers Paradise.
Oh.
I went from Beenleigh to the Kel-Tex in Surfers Paradise on zero. So how does that happen?
I don't understand. Come on.
Sorry. What did you say, Dobbo?
That's an injustice because when it's on zero, you think you should be out.
Well, no, because when the fuel light comes on, there's like a reserve amount of, I think it's 30 kilometres worth of fuel that you can get out of your tank still.
That's further than 30 Ks.
You went long further.
I wonder what the furthest is.
Fuel efficient.
13 27 10 is our number here at Gold 92.5. I got from Beenleigh to Surfers on zero. What's the furthest you've got? Can anyone here outdo me?
I can't outdo that.
Okay. 13 27 10 is our number. Let's open the phones up, see how you go. I got from Beenleigh today to Surfers Paradise on an empty tank. Zero. It actually read zero the whole entire way.
Was it a bit like Russian roulette where you weren't sure whether you were going to break down or not? Was it like a nervous, anxious feeling?
I was really calm, Margo. I was really calm. That's just good. I was quietly confident. I wasn't panicking at all. I just sort of had trust in my Ford Ranger, and it did the job. It got
fuel
me
fuel efficiency.
I've actually never once run out of fuel.
I have.
I have.
Yeah.
I mean, that would suck. But
I did. It was in an old XY Falcon, 1978 XY Falcon, and it had the fuel gauge was broken on it.
Oh,
but Corey always used to make sure I had a tank of water and a tank of fuel in the back just in case it overheated or ran out of fuel.
Good husband. What a bucket. Anyway.
I love that guy.
Dwayne reckons he's rolled further than from Beenleigh to Surfers Paradise. How far do you go, mate?
Not too bad, guys.
What's the go, brother?
How far did you get, Dwayne?
We got a Suzuki Swift Sport, and we got the little light came on. We got 72 kilometres.
Oof.
And when we filled it up, there was only 1 litre left in the tank.
Nah. How good.
Yeah, I got to say, when I filled mine up today, like usually it's $100 to fill mine up, and today it went to 130. So I really pumped it in there. Hey, good on you, Dwayne, 72 Ks, mate. But those Suzuki Swifts, mate, you can just chuck like a handkerchief in there that's got a whiff of fuel on it and it'll take you to Perth.
Yeah.
Just about.
They're not fuel guzzlers. Hey, thanks for your call.
Mike from Labrador, how far did you get on an empty tank of fuel?
I was actually on my jet ski.
Oh.
And I was out off Burley and I had to get all the way back through the Southport Seaway and back to the boat ramp. I reckon it was probably 15 or 20 Ks.
How many bars did you have on your jet ski fuel gauge?
I had two bars left, but then all the buzzers started sounding, saying low fuel, and it's brand new. I've only had it a week, so I shit myself.
That would help.
I just made it back to the boat ramp, I think, because when I filled it, it took 58 litres.
And they chew through it, don't they, the old jet ski?
Oh, mate, how nerve-wracking. How nerve-wracking. And, you know, like, I didn't even turn... They say to you, you should turn the aircon off and all that sort of stuff. I didn't do any of that. I was like, bugger it. I just rolled the dice.
I'm going to get there in comfort.
Yeah. Hey, good on you, man. That would have been the awful running out of fuel out there in the seaway. Thanks for your call. Who else, Dobbo?
Yeah, Cheryl from Mudjibar. How you going?
Good, thank you. Hi.
How far did you get?
Well, I know because I had to pay my petrol gauge... broke, so I had to pay to get it fixed. The mechanic told me that modern cars now are adjusted to get 100 k's. It used to be like 30, but because petrol stations are few and far between on the motorways now, they've adjusted all the whatever they put in the petrol thing, you know, the little lever.
Yeah.
And it's now 100 k's.
Get more bang for your buck.
Hang on, you're saying when it comes up zero on modern cars, you can still get 100 k's?
On that, because all cars have this little reserve lever, you know, and it used to be like you got about 30, like the other lady said. But they've now adjusted cars, the modern cars, and it's the lever that's in the petrol tank somewhere. And you get 100 k's. This is what the mechanic explained to me. And it is true because I've actually done it because my car runs on 20 bucks all the time.
Wow.
Hey, fantastic,
and I don't
Cheryl.
Panic when I see the light because I know I got another 100.
That's amazing. And that goes to show you've got to be really adamant that you're not going to refuel to run out of fuel these days.
I've done 70 over. Like, the light's been on and I've still done 70, 80. And it's true, I've got that already. And he told me it's like they're adjusted. You still got another 100 k's. There's some lever in the petrol tank. I don't know. So it doesn't measure so much petrol, you know, that's fair.
You know what's going to happen?
Wealth of knowledge, Cheryl.
Yeah, there's going to be a heap of our listeners.
Only because the mechanic told me, otherwise I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, well, a heap of our listeners are going to take your word for it and be running out of fuel all over the Gold Coast tomorrow.
I love that Cheryl knows how many kilometres you get out of a tank, but the other lady is my name.
Yeah, you're the other lady.
If you think Dobbo's a half-decent auctioneer,
set him down.
You'll love the dealer wholesale cars that go under the hammer at Southside Auto Auction, Springwood. Southsideautoauctions.com.au.